turn your attention to Judges, the sixth chapter. I just taught this in a home Bible study, and you've heard this probably preached many times, but hopefully we can bring some new light to this. Judges, the sixth chapter, verse number 12. This is all about Gideon and the Lord dealing with him to deliver the children of Israel. Verse 12 says, "And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all of this befallen us? And where be all his miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. And the Lord looked upon him and said, Go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hands of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? And he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least of my father's house. And the Lord said unto him, Surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man." Amen. Hallelujah. We can't do a whole lot in our might, but in his might. And maybe somebody here tonight is saying, you know, Lord, if you really are with me, then why am I going through what I'm going through? Why have you not delivered me? Why haven't you given me that which you know I need desperately? There's a few Gideons standing here tonight. Lord, we ask your blessing, your touch upon the word of God. We need you tonight, Lord. We need your direction, and God, we truly need your help. Bless your people, bless the word. We'll give you the praise. It's in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So we all know the story. The Midianites come every year when Israel is about to harvest their crop. They've worked all year long and put all of this together, and then all of a sudden at harvest time, here comes the Midianites. They take everything they have and just leave them a little bit, just a little bit, in order to sustain them for another year. And here is Gideon. He's in back of the wine press, and he's threshing out a little meal so he can have something to eat for his family. And he's afraid. He's afraid that the Midianites are going to come and take whatever else he has left. And of course, the Lord comes and said, "Gideon, thou mighty man of valor." Wait a minute. You can't be talking to me. Have you ever felt like the Amorites or the Midianites have been showing up at the time when you least want them to show up? When you finally got some things together, you know, it seems like it's really working for you. You put some stuff together. You're finally on track with God. You start to read the word, and you're getting more excited about worship and giving to the cause of God. And then all of a sudden, the Midianites show up. "Honey, the Midianites are at the door again. They've come for our joy and our faith and our blessings, and I know they're going to take it, and then we're going to have to work all year to get back to where we were." Just when you thought you were getting ahead, the car breaks down, the furnace goes out, you end up in emergency, and there's more bills, and you're figuring out, "Why, God? I've been working, I've been doing, and now all of a sudden the enemy shows up." And you start talking like Gideon, "Oh my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all of this befallen us? And where be all his miracles which the Father hath told us?" See, the guy keeps preaching there's going to be miracles, there's going to be deliverance. And why don't I see the deliverance and the miracles in my life? Hallelujah. The altar's open. Lord, I'm trying to do the best I can. But it seems that the enemy is always right there to take away that which I've worked for, sacrificed for. I just don't understand. If you really love me, come and rescue me. Listen, God wants us to see the real picture as God sees it. We see it one frame at a time, and God sees the end from the beginning. He knows what's down the road. We don't know what's down the road. Sometimes there's roadblocks, and we have to go way out of our way in order to, you know, make the trip, but you don't realize the bridge is out. We need to see ourselves for who we are. We need to see our God for who he is. King Saul looked at the giant Goliath through his eyes, but David looked at the Goliath through God's eyes. It's a whole different picture from looking through God's eyes and looking through your eyes. We are the church. We are the bride. We are the chosen one for whom the Savior died, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against us, and the power of darkness shall not hide my light. We sing it, but do we believe it? Romans 8 and 31 says, what shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? You need to know who you really are. The problem with Gideon was he just didn't understand who he was. You don't understand that you're a child of the king. The problem many of us have is we don't understand who we are, but more importantly, we don't understand whose we are. He paid a great price for us. If you understand the sacrifice, the blood that paid for us, then God is not frivolous with our life or our salvation. He's not just nonchalant about where you are and what's going to happen to you. He's concerned about you and every aspect of your life. Sometimes we as Christians are incognito or disguised, threshing out a little witness behind the wine press. You know, like this thing is contraband, sneaking around and every once in a while giving somebody a scripture or telling them that you're a Christian. Afraid someone might recognize our frailties and that we may lose our witness because of our frailties and inconsistencies that each and every one of us have. You're not one of those, are you? Well, yes, I am, but I'm not going to tell everybody because I don't want to get the rebut. As a pastor, I'm attacked by Midianites all the time. So you want to build a congregation. You want to build a church. I can't tell you how many sleepless nights I've had because I take this serious. I take people serious. I take this building serious. I take about what we're sacrificing here very serious. Well, you'll never get it off the ground. It'll never grow. There'll be people who will come, and then there'll be people who will leave. We'll send obstacles like building permits and financing and regulators and appraisers and negative people and negative people and negative people. You can't do it, Pastor. You'll never get it off the ground. How many have been talking to you about your faith, your quest, your calling, all cheering in your corner? You'll never do it. And when you start to think, well, maybe they're right, or, oh, Lord, where are you? All I hear is the naysayers. You hear a voice saying, Brother Schumacher, I'm with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And there are a lot of mighty men and women of valor in this place, and you don't think you are, but you've overcome more obstacles than most. You have more power than you can possibly imagine. Wait a minute, God, you must have the wrong guy, you must have the wrong girl, or you don't know me like I know me. How in the world could you address me as a mighty man of valor? And then God gives you a simple instructions to get the victory using pitchers and torches and trumpets, like we talked about this morning. Not exactly the way you pictured the victory coming. Not exactly the way the world or maybe even your friends or relatives will say you're going to get the victory. We use worship and prayer and fasting instead of attorneys and doctors. And it's the same story throughout the Bible. Tell everyone who is afraid, go home. And there are so many who have signed up for this battle. They walk into our church, but then something frightens them. Or are you kidding? Am I going to get criticized? Am I going to lose family and friends? Are there going to be people who are separate from me? And then all of a sudden they realize there's a cost to this. They count the cost and they become afraid and they go home. And now instead of 32,000 like Gideon had, you only have 10,000. And God's saying, that's all right. Don't worry about it. I've got a people. Amen. I have got a group of Gideons here. And then God says, okay, take them down to the water and give them the water test. And all those who are cautious and take the water and drink and keep looking and are vigil, well, those are the ones that I want, but the ones who don't adhere to the instructions that just put their head in the water, those who will adhere to the word of God, those are the ones that I want. But now instead of 10,000, we've called it down to 300. You've seen the process. It goes on and on and on and on. But God's going to have a people. He's going to have a church. He's not going to have the wimps of society. He's not going to have the Melvin Meltos. He's going to have real Christians, people who are going to stand for what they believe. And Moses says, you know what, I'm not eloquent in speech, and how in the world can I approach your people? And God says, listen, look at your mouth. If I made your mouth, I can put the words in it. Paul, I know your preaching is not with enticing words of man's wisdom, and you come in weakness and in fear and much trembling, but I will be with you in demonstration of spirit and power. Amen. Hallelujah. When you start to evaluate what you can bring to God, it's not much. But what God can bring to you, what God can do for you, hallelujah. Our times of greatest strength and anointing is when we are at our lowest point. And if there's somebody here tonight who feels like, man, I just don't know if I can make it to another service, if I can make it through this difficult situation, well, you just read 2 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, when Paul asked God to deliver him three times from this thorn of the flesh, and God says, My strength is sufficient in weakness, you see, for his strength is made perfect in weakness. And he said, therefore, gladly would I be weak in order to be strong? Think you're somebody? Well, God's got a special school for you. It's right behind a wine press. It's not by our strength or abilities that we get the victory. It's recognizing our frailties and turning those frailties over to God and say, you know what? I am not qualified in order to do this, but I know you are. And if you say I can do that, well, then I know you can empower me in order to do that which is impossible. Amen. Would you turn to 1 Corinthians 10 and 13? Everybody should have this scripture marked in their Bible. Read it at least once a month. 1 Corinthians 10 and 13 says, there hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape that ye may be able to bear it. Every one of us go through those things. Sometimes we evaluate our own life based on the temptations and we're thinking we're just not worthy in order to serve God. But it's common. You just need to be an overcomer. Amen. And then Acts 27. Acts chapter 27 and verse 41. We have Paul, who was shipwrecked at Malta. Several years ago, I was at that very place in Malta where the ship was shipwrecked, where two seas met, and it's a violent water there. And the place that he came on land is still just kind of barren. There's no buildings there or anything. And verse 41 says, "And falling into a place where two seas met, they ran the ship aground, and the forepart struck fast and remained unmovable, but the hinder part was broken with the violence of the waves. And the soldiers' counsel was to kill the prisoners, lest any of them should swim out and escape. But the centurion, willing to have Paul kept from their purpose, and commanded that they which could swim should cast themselves first into the sea and get to land, and the rest, some on boards and some on broken pieces of ship. And so it came to pass that they escaped all safe to land." You know, that it kind of describes a whole lot of us, that we grabbed a piece of what we had and we held on. You know, just a word from God some years ago. We all have these testimonies. We have these memorials in our life. And when things get really bad, we go back to those things that God did so miraculously, whether it's a word of the Lord or maybe a healing or a miracle that has happened in our lives. And we hold on to it. Amen. Hold on to it. Amen. Others would like to see us dead. Would you turn to Numbers, the 13th chapter? Starting in verse 17. Here's a description, again, a very familiar passage. I'm sure I've preached on it a number of times over the years, where we find ourselves with 12 spies going into the promised land to spy it out. Verse 17, "And Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan, and said unto them, Get you up this way, southward, and go up into the mountain, and see the land, what it is, and the people that dwelleth therein, whether they be strong or weak or few or many, and what the land is that they dwell in, whether it be good or bad, and what cities they be that they dwell in, whether in tents or in strongholds." You know, I don't want to criticize Moses here, but what's the difference? You know, aren't you glad that you don't know what's happening next week or next month or next year? What's going to face, you know, what are you going to have to face? You know, I mean, God says take the land. So what's the difference? What's going on in the land in the first place? Verse 20 says, and what the land is, whether it be fat or lean, whether there be wood therein or not, or be of good courage and bring of the fruit of the land. Now the time was the time of the first grapes. And then verse 26, it says, "And they went and came to Moses and Aaron and to all of the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran and Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto all of the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, We came unto the land whither thou sent us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Achan, there, and the Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and Jebusites and Amorites and the rest of the sites, and dwelleth in the mountains of the Canaanites, dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. Somebody's got to stand up. Somebody's going to say, you can have that healing. You can have that job. You can be delivered from this thing. And you don't have to wait until tomorrow. Let's do it right now. Hallelujah. Verse 31. Oh my. But the man that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. Really? How'd you check that out? And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all of the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the son of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. You see, what do you think of yourself? What amount of power do you have? What amount of faith do you have? Well, whatever you think you are, that's what the enemy thinks you are as well. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and we were in their sight as well. And as we see ourselves, that's the way we are perceived by other people. You know, we are different. We are a holy people. We are a peculiar people to show forth the praises of Him who called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. Consider yourself strong in the Lord. Those around us and will see us being strong. John 1 and 12 says, as many as receive Him, and that word receive means act like Him, not just know about Him. As many that act like Him, to them He gave power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. So the only way we're going to receive the power is to act as if we are full of power, that we are like God. He left us here to do greater things than He did. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Please repeat after me, all those that are awake.
I am
not
a grasshopper.
Some of you still don't believe it. Would you repeat this again? I am not a grasshopper. Hallelujah. Somebody wave a tentacle. Amen. Glory to God. Sometimes we think we're nothing, we're nobody, and that's good to a certain extent. But you know what? It's He who is in us. If we think we're grasshoppers, don't be surprised if somebody squashes us. You know? You see, it's not the size of the giant that makes the difference. It's not the size of your problem. It's not the diagnosis that's the problem. It's the size of your God. When you see Him high and lifted up. Oh, hallelujah. Then the problem gets real, real small, you see. A couple of years ago, we had a fantastic room at family camp. I mean, it was outstanding. I mean, it wasn't the view, it wasn't the size of the room, it wasn't even the furnishings, but there was one thing in that room that made it so fantastic. It was the mirror. Man. I'd stand in front of that mirror, and there's something about that mirror that made me look 20 pounds thinner. Wow. I said to my wife, I like to take this mirror to the camp meeting, so just stand by it, you know? I looked marvelous in that mirror. Hallelujah. And if we have the reflection of God, oh, hallelujah. I look marvelous. Amen. Last week I was at my 52nd class reunion. Those people were so old. I'm telling you, I felt like I was a teenager. It makes a difference, folks, if you're living for God. You look marvelous. Amen. Church, maybe we are just looking in the wrong mirror. There's a great reflection. If you could just keep it with you all of the time. You know, you're looking better all of the time. Hallelujah. Amen. The world says we can't. We have no power. We have no miracles. We have no pleasure. We have no future. But God's word gives us another reflection of who we are and what we can do. Jesus said in Mark 10:27, with men it is impossible, but not with God, for with God all things are possible. I want to raise the level of faith in here somehow. So tomorrow when you get on the job, when you come against this problem, this situation, this issue, that you recognize, you know what? We can do all things through Christ, which strengthens us. I would like to turn some grasshoppers into giants here tonight. If you believe that, would you just get a feeler up somehow and, you know, get hopping? Grasshoppers can really jump. I don't know if you've been around many grasshoppers, but those babies, they really, I mean, if I could jump like a grasshopper, you know, I could at least be in the NBA, you know. But they don't seem to really get very far because they really don't have much of a direction. And I don't want to just talk about the promises of God. And I don't just want to jump around this altar. Without the power. Oh, we went to church and boy, oh, we had a good time. And then Monday morning, our lips are dragging on the ground and we can't get through anything. Because the enemy has convinced us we're just grasshoppers. I want to possess them. Ephesians 3:20 says, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh within us. So there's no limit to what we can do. Hallelujah. I want to be with Joshua and Caleb. Let's go up and possess it right now. Why not? Glory to God. Once we have been baptized in Jesus' name, and cross the water into the promised land, then we have access to all of the promises of God, but we can get focused on the wrong things. Our problems, our issues, our thinking weigh us down to the point where, you know, we just look at ourselves as failures. There are always giants along the way. There's fear and there's doubt and there's criticisms. Never focus on the giants. If you do, we become grasshoppers in our own sight. Listen, you are who God says you are. You can do what God says you can do. You can be who God says you can be. We need to see ourselves as God sees us. For God sees us as more than conquerors. Man has an instinct for improvement and increase, and we were created to expand, not to contract. You know. So what God is saying, you know, we need to grow, we need to advance, we need to have more. God has not limited us to a certain amount of joy and peace and prosperity in the church. We can have as much as we go after. Hallelujah. How many here went to a first Pentecostal church just to kind of spy out the land, you know? They were inviting me for months to come, and I thought, I'll go. I want to see what those people really are all about, you know? Is there really something to all this excitement, enthusiasm that they have for God? Could I get blessed? Could I really have the same experience that they had. And I felt like I was nothing when I got into his presence, and that I didn't belong there. And everyone could get blessed, but I couldn't get blessed because I didn't realize that all of heaven's focus was on me. If you're a visitor here tonight, there's a spotlight from heaven that is focusing on you, because you're the most important individual that is in this place, because God wants to show himself strong on your behalf. He wants you to see the reality of God and what God can do for you. He can part the waters. He can heal your body. Hallelujah. And all of the blessings of God were really for the taking. 10 spies came in fear, 2 came in faith. The conversation of the 10 went something like this: wow, look at the size of those people. Oh my, did you see the walled cities? We could never, ever conquer this city. I don't want to be destroyed by these giants. And my family, I don't want to risk my family by bringing them into this place. I know what God says, but I can see with my own eyes. And then there's a conversation of Joshua and Caleb that went something like this: wow, look at this place. Will you look at the size of those grapes? Have you ever seen melons that big? This is just an outstanding. He said it was going to be great, but I couldn't imagine that it would be this great. Caleb, you see that area over there? That's where I'm going to build my house. That's where my kids are really going to enjoy this place. Hallelujah. Do you believe in a heaven? I have not seen, ear has not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man, the things that God has prepared for them that love him. But that's not about heaven, folks. That's about right here on earth. God has things for us. Hallelujah. Amen. Listen, Joshua and Caleb saw walled cities and giants just like the other 10, but the grapes got their attention. What gets your attention? I'm coming in here with a problem, but my attention is on what God's going to do with the problem, rather than I'll wait until the problem's over and then I'm going to start worshiping God. The promises are real, and no giant was going to stop them. Amen. And when the enemy messes with you, he's got to deal with the one who sent you. There are two kinds of believers: those who focus on the giants or the obstacles, and those who focus on the grapes, the promises. The biggest giant looks like a grasshopper next to God. He's big. He's big, folks. Real big. Would you turn to 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, please? Could somebody say amen?
Yeah.
That's good. I feel so much better. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. At verse number 4. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And then 1 John, the 5th chapter. Verse number 4, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? We have a leg up on all other Christianity because we understand that Jesus is God. This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. It is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. And there are three that bear witness in the earth, the Spirit, and the water, and the blood, and these three agree in one. We have the revelation of who God is, the power. When Peter got the revelation, he got the message. He got the keys to the kingdom. And when we got the revelation of Jesus Christ, God robed himself in flesh. God says, here is the power. Here are the keys to overcome anything that you come up against. Samson overcame with the jawbone of a donkey. Killed 1,000. And then he thirsted, and God put water in the hollow of the jawbone, and he drank. God was just flexing his muscles through a man. And I'm telling you, church, God wants to flex his muscles through each and every one of us. If we would just try it a little bit. Let me try it Monday. David overcame with a slingshot. This armor is just not going to work for me. I'm going to work what I have. Gideon with a pitcher and a trumpet. It wasn't the weapons, it was the faith that made it work. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Faith, 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 just a little bit of faith. It doesn't take a lot, but you got to use what you got. Faith, 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 just a little bit of faith. Just a mustard seed of faith. Repeat after me. I am not a grasshopper. I'm not a failure. Boy, that didn't seem like you really believed it. I am a victor. I'm a conqueror. I'm a grape eater. I'm a giant killer. I am the child of the King. Hallelujah. Whose report will you believe? Amen, amen. In the morning, I have coffee. Not that I need it, but it stops the shaking. And then I'll go on my computer and I'll look at yesterday's news. You know, I don't have a way of. I'm not tuned into this world, so I can only get yesterday's news. But after 20 minutes of yesterday's news, I want to go back to bed, you know, put the sheets over my head, say, you know, that's all negative, you know. 20 minutes of this news. It's all good report. Amen. Glory to God. And we need to stand up for what we believe. There are giants in the land. The thing is, we're the giants. Would you stand with me, please? Honey, the Midianites are here. I've got something for them. Glory to God. Don't be intimidated. We've got power that you can't see. Jesus is living inside of me. Amen. The altar's open. Would you come?